We see in the Declaration of Independence where they wrote the words that every human is created equal and that every human has certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's the original American dream. That's why millions of people immigrated into the New World, because they wanted to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we've kind of talked about the first two already, and we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about the last one, which is the pursuit of happiness. And the American dream is a great, great thing. Lots of people's lives have been changed because of the American dream, what America offers in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But let me tell you something. God has a much bigger plan than the American dream. There's a much more sure plan in God's will for your life. It's great that we can experience freedom here in America to worship as we see fit. It's great that we can pursue the life that we want to pursue. It's great that we have all these things available to us. But let me tell you something. God's plan for your life is so much bigger, so much better than anything that America can offer. See, God's plan offers us life. It offers us life, as the Bible says in John 10:10, that is rich and satisfying. God wants you to enjoy life. God offers us liberty. Through the cross, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven and so that we can have liberty in every area of our lives. He brings freedom to us. Not only in our spiritual life, He not only brings life to us spiritually, in forgiving our sins and getting rid of the debt. He freed us from the power of sin and death. He's freed us in our minds. He's freed us in every area of our lives. He offers us freedom, but we need to walk in that freedom. And last, He offers us joy. This is the pursuit of happiness in the American dream. But I think that joy is a whole lot better than the pursuit of happiness. Because joy can be a sure thing. You're not always guaranteed happiness when you pursue it. But when you're in God, you're guaranteed joy. And it's a great thing that we can do. And it's interesting, as I was studying joy this week, there's another little word that kept popping up in a lot of the scriptures that mentioned joy. And it's this word, thanksgiving. And it just so happens it's Thanksgiving week, so it's amazing how God works in this kind of stuff. It wasn't actually planned that way on my end, but it was planned by God, I guess. But the words joy and thanksgiving show up in a lot of scriptures together. And I believe that they are hand in hand. Where you find joy, you will find thanksgiving. Where you find thanksgiving, you will find joy. It's amazing that when we're grateful for the things that people do for us, it's amazing when we're thankful for what God has done for us and we express that thanks, that joy shows up. And it goes hand in hand. But before we get too deep in the relationship between joy and thanksgiving, I want to talk about joy real quick. Like I said a while ago, we're going to talk about this for 2 weeks. So we're going to kind of scratch the surface and talk about joy and thanksgiving this week. Then we're really going to get into it next week on how do we tap into this joy. Because there's lots of people that are Christians that have relationships with God, but you look into their lives and you don't see any joy. You don't see any excitement. You don't see any passion in their life. And we're missing something, that there's a disconnect in our joy. And we're going to talk about that more next week on how to find that joy in our lives again. But this week, I kind of want to compare joy and happiness. Because a lot of people think that it's the same thing. But it's really not. Even if you look it up in the American Dictionary, they have very similar definitions. But they're not the same thing at all, if you look at it from God's perspective. Because happiness is based on our happenings. It's based on the things that are happening in our lives. The circumstances in life can bring us joy or it can bring us sorrow. Circumstances change. See, happiness is conditional. Happiness is temporary. Happiness has to do with our emotions. And we all know emotions change quickly. See, a lot of what happiness is has to do with external stuff. Stuff going on around us. Stuff that we cannot control. A lot of happiness is based on that kind of stuff. But see, joy is different. Joy is an internal thing. Joy is something that is more stable than happiness. See, joy is not swayed by the everyday happenings in our life. Because I believe true joy comes from God. In fact, I don't think you can have true joy if you don't have God in your life. There are things in our lives that I believe that God puts in our lives that can bring us some joy. I take great joy in my wife and kids. There's no greater joy than going home and Ella's eyes just light up. I'm like, Daddy! And she just comes, runs, and gives me a big hug and kiss. Nothing beats that. And it's something that will bring you joy in your life. But see, I wouldn't have that if it weren't for God. See, I believe that true joy comes only from God. And that's where a lot of the disconnect in people's lives are, is that they might have made a commitment to God. They might have prayed a prayer saying, God, be my Lord and be my Savior. But they haven't done much with it since. And thus, they have no joy because they're not in God's perfect will for their lives. See, there's just something about, you know, God. And when you're in that, when you're what I like to call, you're in the zone with God, where you figured out what God has called you to do. When you have figured out what God's purpose for your life is, when you see His gifts and His talents that He's placed in your life, and you use those for His glory. See, that's when you're in God's perfect will. And it's different for each and every one of us. Because what God has called me to do is not what He's called you to do. And see, God's gifts and callings aren't all, you know, what you would call spiritual. You know, like the gifting in my life is a teaching gift. It's kind of a leading gift. It has more to do with the church and spiritual things. But see, some of y'all have been gifted to be nurses. Some of y'all have been gifted to be teachers. Some of you have been gifted with all kinds of different things, lots of creative type things. And if you know me very well, I'm not very creative. And so that is not my gift and talent. But there's some of you in here that are so creative that you're all the time coming up with new ideas, and you're gifted in maybe in drawing or you know, just all kinds of creative different kinds of things that you can use for the glory of God. See, I believe all gifts and callings are from God. It's how we use our gifts and callings that determine if we're in God's will or not. Are you using what God gave you to bring glory to Him? That's the big question. But true joy only comes from God. And it's when you're in God's perfect will, doing what He has called you to do. But as we read the scriptures, as we said earlier, we see that joy and thanksgiving are in close relation. They're very close. Joy flows out of your thanksgiving, your gratefulness for what God has done for you. And your thankfulness, lots of times, flows out of the joys in your life. I thank God every day for my family. I thank God every day for the kids that He's given me, the wife that He has given me. They bring me joy, and so I'm thankful to God for bringing these people into my life. They go hand in hand. The more thankful we are for what God has done for us, the more joy that you will receive from God. Does that make sense? Let's read some scriptures on this. With joy and thanksgiving. How many of you have your Bibles today? I was told I need to be sure to say the references on here that we're going to. Because apparently I didn't do that last week. I don't know. Psalms 28:7 is where we're going first. We're going to be in Psalms for quite a bit of this. Because it's kind of interesting that, you know, the book of Psalms are worships to God. It's a lot of it comes from David's heart, his cries to God. Some of them are very worshipful and saying, God, you're just so amazing. Your mercy endures forever. And some of them are, God, what's going on? How come it looks like my enemies are defeating me. God, where are you? And then it turns into a worship to God. But God, I know I can trust in you. No matter what's going on, you are my rock. You are my salvation. And so it's no surprise to me that we find a lot of joy scriptures in the book of Psalms. Because as we're going to find out next week, is that joy and worship go hand in hand. See, being thankful is an act of worship. When you express your thanks to God, that is an act of worship to Him. Because it puts the spotlight on God. It brings glory to God when you're thankful to Him. But I'll get more into that next week. It'll be good, I promise. Psalms 28:7. Hopefully y'all have gotten there by now. Psalms 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust in Him with all of my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." Joy and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Let's read another one. Psalms 42:4. Psalms 42:4. And it just kind of happened that they all kind of go in order too. I don't know how that happened, but it works. Psalms 42:4. "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sounds of great celebration." Joy and thanksgiving and worship, they all go together. See, this week as we're going through our Thanksgiving stuff, and I've noticed on Facebook a lot of people are doing the daily thankfulness. Every day they're saying something that they're thankful for. I think that's great. Because it makes you stop and look into your life and see the good things in your life. And it's so awesome. See, usually day one is, I'm so thankful for God and what He's done for me. Day two, I'm so thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful, and the list goes on and on. And I'm not sure how long everybody's supposed to do that. I guess it's going to go through Thanksgiving. I'm not for sure, but it's just exciting to me to open up Facebook and see people saying what they're thankful for. Because it makes you stop and think about your life. Because so much of our life can be negative. I mean, if you just turn on the news, if you talk to people at work, if you just look at the world around you, there's a lot of negativity. And it's so easy to get caught up in the negativity of life. But see, when you stop and survey your life and you become thankful, you begin to look at the good things in life. You begin to look at the blessings that God has brought to you in your life. And it's a worship to God. It's a worship to God because it puts the focus on God and not your life. Joy flows from thanksgiving. But we'll talk more about worship next week. So if joy brings thanksgiving, and thanksgiving brings out joy in your life, what do we have to be thankful for? Because some people can look into their lives, and there is a lot of negative things. There's a lot of bad things going on. Maybe you've recently gone through a divorce. Or maybe you've recently lost a child. Or maybe it just seems like your whole life has fallen apart. And you're just like, I have nothing to be thankful for. Well, let me give you a few things to be thankful for this week. The first few we're going to read in the Bible of things that they were thankful for. And stuff that we need to be thankful for about what God has done for us. Again, we're still in Psalms here. Psalms 56. We're going to start in verse 11. What were they thankful for back in the Bible days? Psalms 56:11. It says, "I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help." He's thankful because God has helped him. How has he helped him? "For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. And so now I walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light." We can be thankful because God has brought us from death. We deserve death in our lives because of the lives that we've lived. But because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, we are no longer slaves to sin and death. We've been rescued from death. He has helped us. And now we can be in the presence of God. If you read in the Old Testament, anybody that got into the presence of God died. Unless there were certain provisions set. If you look into the tabernacle, there is only one time a year that one man could go into the presence of God to offer a sin sacrifice for the nation of Israel. One time, one man. And it had to be done just right, or that man would die because of sin. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. We see glimpses of like when Moses, when he was up on Mount Sinai, and he was like, God, I just want to see your face. He said, you can't handle that. But what I will show you, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll let you see my hindquarters after I've passed by. Just see the train of his robe as you pass by. And the Bible said that his face glowed. His face was literally glowing, that he had to put a veil over his face because he just caught a very small glimpse of the presence of God. In the Old Testament, they couldn't be in God's presence. But now, because of Jesus, we can be in the presence of God every single day. I believe we're in the presence of God right now. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. God is here right now. You are in the presence of God. We should be thankful. Let's go on. Psalms chapter 75. We're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 75, 1. It says, we thank you, O God. We give thanks because you are near. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. Again, we can be thankful because God is close. God is always here for us. The Bible says that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. No matter what's going on in your life, God is right there with you. That's something to be thankful for. Because you're going to have friends abandon you. You're going to have friends desert you. You're going to have friends stab you in the back. But God will never do that to you. He'll be there through it all, helping you every step of the way. Something to be thankful for. Psalms 118:21. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. We have victory in Christ Jesus. We have victory over sin and death. We have victory over sickness and disease. We have victory over habits. We have victory over addictions. We have victory in our lives. Because of Jesus, we should be thankful. I'm glad someone's excited about it today. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's see what the New Testament people were thankful for. Actually, we're going to look and see what Jesus was thankful for. John 11, verse 40. John 11, verse 40. This is the scene where Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha are crying. They came to Jesus. Why did you let Lazarus die? We know that you could have healed him at any moment, and he's dead now. And they're just all distraught. And Jesus came. He raised Lazarus from the dead. They rolled the stone away. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? So they rolled the stone away. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said this, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. See, when we pray, God is listening. When we pray, God is listening. God hears us. So many times when we're praying, it seems like we pray and it hits the ceiling and comes back down to us. Anybody ever been there? Two people. There are three of us holding strong here, all right? Everybody else has perfect prayers. No. But the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. When we pray, when we seek God in our prayers, God bends his ear and he listens to the prayer of the righteous. Who is the righteous? Is it the person that lives perfectly? No. It's the person that's put his trust in Jesus Christ. That is the righteous. When you pray, God listens. When you pray, God goes into action. God gets it done. Isn't it nice to know that the one who is all-powerful, the one that created everything, is on your side? And that when you talk, when you pray, He listens to you. And His power is available to you. Something to be thankful for. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What do we have to be thankful for? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Christ Jesus. Man, if we would only walk in the victory that Jesus gave us, we would experience joy. We would experience peace in our lives. We wouldn't have to struggle with a lot of the things that we struggle with. See that it all goes back to one thing. And we read the scripture last week in James, where it said, you know, it's great that you hear the word of God, but you got to do the word of God. Because if you hear the word of God and you think you're good because you've heard the word, then you're deceiving yourself. You've got to put God's word into action. You have to be obedient. That's something that you don't hear preached a lot. You know, we want the blessings of God. We want, you know, the good things in life. And we want God to be on our side and answer all of our prayers and do everything that we want Him to do for us. But see, there's something that we have to do. We have to do everything that He wants us to do. I'm not saying that He's strict and He's keeping a tab. Well, you messed up that one. So there goes that blessing. You know, He's not. He just wants you to be obedient. He wants you to live your life for Him. He wants you to bring glory to Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It all comes down to obedience. Well, if that list wasn't good enough for you, let me give you another one. This is something that I was kind of thinking, like, what am I thankful for? And this is kind of a list that I kind of came up with, and I've kind of stole some of it from somebody else that has some really good things to be thankful for. So what do I have to be thankful for? Did I wake up this morning? Yes, I did. Did you wake up this morning? I hope so. You wouldn't be here if you didn't wake up. 150,000 people did not wake up this morning. 150,000 people that was alive yesterday is not alive today. Something to be thankful for. Did my wife wake up this morning? Yes, she did. Did my kids wake up this morning? Yes, they did. 22,000 kids die every single day. Something to be thankful for. Are you expecting a baby? That's something to be thankful for. There are so many people that struggle, that can't have a baby. It's a struggle that me and Miranda had for a long time. We tried for 5 years to have a baby with no success. And it's very frustrating. There's lots of anger. There's lots of hurt. There's lots of asking, God, why? And so be thankful if you're expecting a baby. Do you have a job? I didn't say if you like your job. Do you have a job? 14 million people don't have a job today in America. Am I stressed out about money? Well, that's a big one. Well, I did a little research. And if you make $25,000 a year, then you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world. $25,000. Top 10% right there. That doesn't sound like a lot, but there's 1.6 billion people worldwide that live on less than a dollar a day. That was billion with a B. 1.6 billion people, less than a dollar today. Do you have a place to live? Do you have a roof over your head? 2 million people today are homeless. Do you have a car? Do you have an education? Are you healthy today? How many people woke up this morning facing a terrible disease, cancer, something like that? Are you healthy? That's something to be thankful for. Is my wife healthy today? Are my children healthy today? Do I know Jesus? There's parts of the world that have never heard the name of Jesus. We are fortunate in America that we can know Jesus, that we can pick up a Bible at any bookstore and learn about Jesus. How many people do I see daily that don't know Jesus? What am I doing about that? That's a little side note there. Can I live out my faith without fear of persecution? In America, we can. 176,000 people died last year because of persecution of their faith. And millions more were persecuted to the point that they had to go into hiding because of their faith. We should be thankful that we live in a country that we can freely express our faith in Jesus Christ. We have lots to be thankful for here in America. We have lots to be thankful for as Christians. Are you being thankful? As you begin to express your thanks, I believe that joy will begin to spring up in your heart. Sometimes it starts small. Just a little glimpse of hope, a little glimpse of joy. Keep pursuing that thankfulness. Keep pursuing that worship in your life, and you'll see things change. Let me end with this scripture. I believe it sums it all up for us. It was actually in the video a while ago, so you get to hear it again. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Hey, that's one of the things we can be thankful for. When we pray, God's listening. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So are you being thankful today for what you do have? It's so easy to see the negative stuff. It's so easy to see the bad stuff in life. But I believe during this Thanksgiving season that as we begin to search our lives, we will find good things. As Christians, we have lots of things to be thankful for. Begin to thank God for these things. Thank the people around you for the things that they've done for you. Thank your spouse for being there, for being faithful, for loving you. Thank your spouse for giving you your kids. There's lots to be thankful for. Let's express it to the people that we love most. Let's pray. Prayer team, go ahead and come up here. Father God, we just thank you so much. God, you've given us so much in our lives, God. We know that everything good in life comes from you, God, and we just want to express thanks today. God, we want to express it with our voice. Thank you for everything you've done for us. God, I just pray for all those today that here that just life just seems to be falling in on them. God, that life doesn't look good right now. But God, I just pray that as they begin to thank you for what you have done for them, God, that you'll bring hope to their hearts. God, there'll be springs of hope. There'll be springs of joy, springs of peace in their life. God, just thank you, Lord, as we pour our hearts out to you today in prayer. God, we know that you're listening, God, and you go into action today. God, bringing these things forth in our lives. God, thank you so much for everything that you've done. We just thank you in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, go ahead and come.